Coming up next is Kristen Fontana's Guiding Stars, Evolutionary Astrology, here on HealthyLife.net Radio. Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings, you're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. I'm here today with Rose Marcus from Vancouver, Canada, and we are going to share some insights for the next month. We are recording this on February 24th, and we will be talking about the end of February and March transits for 2022. Welcome back, Rose.
Oh, thank you.
Anything you wanted to let the listeners know?
Yes, I have a couple things up this month, in the month of March. It's a couple weeks away, but on the 19th of March, Kepler College is doing something for International Astrologers Day, and there's a whole batch of people that are going to be doing stuff, and I'm going to be participating with Maurice Fernandez and Laura Nalbandian, and our segment's going to be on talking about Dame Rudyard. So that will be kind of cool. And on the 27th of March, which maybe we'll even be back to do another show before then, but I will be presenting for OPA, the Astrologers Association, and I'm going to be speaking on Jupiter in Pisces, the upcoming Jupiter-Neptune transit that's happening in April. So if you're a member of OPA, put that on your list. If you're not a member of OPA, then join or reach out to me.
Great. Awesome. All right. Well, here we are. We are approaching March, and as I was kind of taking some notes, the shadow ends and March begins. The shadow of the retrograde of Venus that started December 18th, 2021. And Mercury was retrograde as well in Capricorn in January, and so both of those two planets will be leaving their shadow early in March. You probably have the exact days.
I don't actually write in at my fingertips, but I do want to say something about Venus. Is that Venus is now a morning apparition. And will be, you know, through the next 9 months. And when Venus is a morning star, it is in its kind of yang orientation. So it's an action-oriented Venus. And it's interesting because the ancients, when Venus was a morning star, would wage war under that transit because it ensured greater success.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so today we have some news about, well, you know, Russia and that takeover with the two provinces and so forth. But there's a lot going on with Russia right now. There's this whole thing about, you know, whether Putin was going to, you know, follow through and, you know, what he was going to do and, you know, all that kind of uncertainty. But when Venus is in the morning star apparition, this is exactly what we do, is we have that and we see out there in the world at some level.
It's interesting because Putin actually has Venus at like 11 Scorpio, I believe, so Uranus is opposing that right now, his natal Venus. So you just shared kind of what happens when Venus is in this position, and then you can see it reflected in his own chart. It's like doing something radical. I mean, this is something radical that's not only going to affect a lot of lives, but even his own people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, amazing, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just coming out of those shadows, right?
You know, great.
We see all of that.
Exactly. So it does feel like it's not always going from the shadow to the light. I mean, I guess the light of day, and realizing that, at least in that area of the world, and, you know, not to mention that Venus is traveling with Mars, the planet of war, and going to be conjunct Pluto here in the around the 4th,
we have
3rd, 4th
just
March.
Just an amazing setup coming up, right?
Yeah.
And really, February has been quite amazing for the travel of Venus and Mars and Pluto all together there. On the full moon that we just had on the 16th of February, Venus and Mars formed a conjunction, and at that point, because Venus, as we've talked about before, has just come out of the retrograde cycle, December-January, and was traveling slow, has been traveling slow in its orbit. And so as of February 16, the two planets have been traveling together from about the 12th forward, just right within a really tight 1 degree, you know, orb there between the two of them. And on the 16th, they, Mars overtook Venus. So Mars is in the lead right now up until the... fifth, sixth of March, depending on time zone you're in, and then Venus and Mars will go a new phase. So we're in this really intensified pattern here with these transits, and of course they've been aligned with Pluto. So in the first week of March, we have a new moon on the 2nd of March in the sign of Pisces. And it's got, you know, a few extra things going on with it, Mercury and Saturn, for one, conjunct. And that new moon is also conjunct Jupiter. And then on the 3rd, we have Venus and Pluto conjunct. First of all, it's Mars and Pluto conjunct. And then it's Venus and Pluto conjunct. And then on the 5th, we have both Venus and Mars moving into the sign of Aquarius and forming a conjunction. So you and I have both written about this transit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mars and Pluto, of course, which is huge, a huge signature for evolutionary astrology. But Mars and Pluto come around once every 2 years to start a new cycle. Venus and Pluto are a one-year cycle, and they're both starting on the 3rd. And then Mars and Venus are a two-year cycle, and they are starting on the 5th. So we have a, you know, kind of a completion, and when we have that completion pattern, it's very, very, very potent in terms of completion and seeding for what comes next, right?
It's just so amazing to me. I was actually running charts last weekend and looking at Mars and Venus traveling together in a balsamic position in Capricorn, which does connect to our history, the past. It's the archetype of time. It's how you're structuring your life, how you're committing your time and dedicating your energy. And just literally within minutes, as both the Mars moves into Aquarius first, and I mean minutes later, I don't know how many, 15 minutes maybe, and not many.
Seven
minutes. Thank you. See, you were doing the Virgo thing too. So 7 minutes later, Venus follows Mars and then moves in front of Mars in the sign of Aquarius. And when we think about Aquarius, the sign that follows Capricorn, it wants nothing to do with tradition. You know, it wants to shake things up. It wants to break free from anything that's become outmoded. And it can be a radical energy. I mean, it's not always liberating. It can be shocking. It can, a little bit like what's happening already with the war scenario here. And, you know, then what do people do about that? I mean, anybody who disagrees with Putin is going to be arrested. But there's already a lot of people wanting to protest what's happening there. And there will be consequences for that in their country, I'm sure. But... you know, it is really a dramatic swing of energy. I don't ever remember. Here I go saying this again. It seems like I've said this a few times recently, but I don't ever remember this happening in this way. I mean, when these two planets transition from a balsamic to a new phase, going from one sign to the next, so dramatic, from Capricorn to Aquarius.
Well, and yes, and I think, you know, that added drama of having these planets, Venus and Mars, traveling together for such a length of time. Like, usually, you know, Venus and Mars are going to, you know, be conjunct for a couple of days, you know, 3 days, something like that, right?
Right.
For like 3 weeks. And, you know, so that, you know, it's a very, very intense. And in all the time that I've been writing, which, you know, and studying astrology and so on, like, I don't ever remember seeing this. And Capricorn, of course, which is so very, very potent. And by the way, you know, the transits, as they're kind of hooking up there at, you know, 26, 27 degrees, you know, are traveling over the planetary node of Saturn, right? Saturn is currently sitting at south node of Saturn at 28 degrees of Capricorn, right? So that adds that added intensity of Capricorn type of energy, really. You know, the reality is shaping up in some kind of way. It was interesting, I was watching the news on, you know, people there, you know, in the Ukraine, and there were quite a few of them that they were interviewing. They were saying, well, I don't know. I don't think it makes much difference. I think it's going to be okay that the Russians are taking over, you know, and they were just kind of like thinking that there's this new moon in Pisces, and followed by that, exactly that Venus, Mars in Aquarius, the shock value of that, right? You know, people are going, oh, I don't know. It seems okay to me. Some of them. I mean, you've got the protesters, and you've got the pro-Russians, and you've got them, you know, the Ukrainians who really don't want the Russians there, and then you've got the ambivalence in the middle, which, you know, is kind of a typical signature for the different levels of Aquarius anyway, but you know, I think that shock value is definitely quite possible with the politics of the day. You know, certainly there's a lot of turbulence going out there, and we in Canada have had and still have this ongoing thing with the truckers' convoy across the country and the occupation of our capital city. You know, there's a lot going on. Very strange.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, very strange. Yeah, so, and I just wanted to also mention that last month's, or the recent full moon that we had on the 16th of April, sorry, meant to say February, which for me was so so dynamic because of this Venus Mars, you know, Mars overtaking Venus on that day. But the full moon was also 27 degrees of Leo Aquarius, and in dynamic tension to the nodal axis, the karmic axis, as I like to say, which is currently in Taurus Scorpio, right? And this full moon on the 16th of February, it really marks the midpoint peak between the lunar eclipse that happened last November and the lunar eclipse, which will be a total lunar eclipse on the 15th of May, right? So interesting that I think we're in the middle of a very, very important chapter of kind of collective history. And, of course, you may be feeling it in your own personal life as well, too, whatever it is mm-hmm. going on for you, right? You know, so, yeah.
Well, there, you know, of course we can look at these charts on a personal level, on a collective level. There's many layers and levels to them. And you can see it in the world around you or in the lives of the people that you know. And it just depends on how these planets are interfacing with your chart in terms of how the story is unfolding. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking about recently with all this Pluto, Capricorn, Saturn energy, Mars, all of it, you know, I was thinking, well, what is it that you would be willing to die for? And I don't literally mean die, like physically die. It just sounds so dramatic. But that's what it feels like sometimes. What is, and it's an important question to ask yourself, not because I'm suggesting that will happen. It's just, it will tell you what it is that you value the most, what it is that you care about the most, what is it, that will tell you where is the first place to spend your time. I mean, would you die for love? Would you die for freedom? You know, and I mean the old parts of you, really, is what I'm saying, like the old parts of you dying away. So Pluto and Capricorn conjunct Mars and Venus, the old ways of being, the old ways of moving through space, and whether it's fear-based, or, you know, just there's a certain degree of resistance because of the fear of the unknown. Those are the parts of you that, of course, we would all be wanting to pass away, just to change within ourselves. And with Mars and Venus in Aquarius, I mean, I do feel like there's more courage that can come through that shift of energy to just go for it, you know, take the leap. And so I know that when I was experiencing Pluto transits personally to my chart prior to becoming an astrologer, and it was really what propelled me into this work, I literally did feel like I was dying a little every day. You know, there are parts of who I was, thank God, that were dying a little every day, because it's the old that you don't want to repeat. You know, so I saw somewhere on a T-shirt that said "Evolve or Repeat," and I thought, perfect. So there you have it. That's what you need to think about here in the next few weeks. Am I going to evolve or am I going to repeat?
Well, the one thing caveat on what you just said was I think that kind of what are you willing to die for, you know, has been one of the things that has spurred this trucker's convoy at this very distorted level. In Capricorn, you know, whatever is suppressed gets distorted, right? You know, and I think that there's been some militancy, and I don't want to get people throwing stones at me either, you know, because a lot of people have been pro the truckers, but this is exactly what's happened. People have said, you know, well, I don't care, I just lost my job, so I can sit in this truck here in Ottawa for as long as I damn well please in order to make my point, you know, and the truckers were very adamant about, you know, I'm ready to die for my freedoms. You know, you know, I don't want to wear my mask, and, you know, and I don't want you to tell me what I can and cannot do, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So there's kind of two sides to that in terms of how you're relating to exactly that statement, you know. And that's exactly it, you know. I think it's what I would say is many times, no matter what it is about you standing present for yourself and also thinking about the greater good of all, right? You know, that's the way that we can operate in life, you know, to be present and to do the best you can with whatever you have to work with. And here's the other thing, you know, change is the only absolute, right? And change is afoot. And nothing can stay the same when you know astrology and you know that Pluto's about to end in Capricorn and you see this transit that we have right now. Something's got to give. Something's got to change, right? And and you may not know how to reinvent yourself or how to shift your consciousness so that you can make a big change. But I think just to agree that you're going to be open to it in the first place, and then to see what shows up, right?
Absolutely, being receptive, and speaking of receptive, by being receptive, by letting go of resistance, by surrendering to a better way, that's what the new moon in Pisces is all about on the 2nd. It's new moon in Pisces, sun, moon, with Jupiter. And I always say to my clients that are holding on to dear life to something, whether it's a relationship that really needs to end or what have you, it's that there are these lessons around attaching to nothing except for the truth of what is best for you, or what is best for all, like not attaching necessarily to an outcome, but attaching to the truth. And that sun, moon, Jupiter, and Pisces is that. It's like whether it's, you know, taking the high road finally seeing something clearly, seeing it for what it is, seeing the potential of what it is, and maybe with the new moon in Pisces conjunct Jupiter, you will see the potential of something you didn't even know was that great. So it can also be something that is revealed to you that can feel like this serendipitous moment that changes everything. So there's the potential for abundance, there's the potential for insights, there's the potential to see something that you hadn't seen before, and there's the potential to heal, to grow, to evolve, and you know that's the promise of what that holds preceding this dramatic, radical shift of energy.
That, you know, that's exactly it. You know, when you hold on too tight, you know, there's no room to put more in your hands, right? You know,
right.
And the Pisces archetype is about surrender, right? You know, and if you can surrender to the moment, which is a Jupiter, you know, Neptune type of energy anyway, you'll find yourself in flow. And on the new moon, Mercury in Aquarius aligns with Saturn in Aquarius. And this Mercury-Saturn in Aquarius conjunction, you know, it can be quick on the draw, quick on the uptake. You know, it can be an aha moment. Now, Mercury-Uranus can be as well, too, the pressure, you know, the kettle goes off, or, you know, whatever that expression is. You know, it's kind of like whatever is suppressed, you know, just kind of goes flat. But with the flow piece of the new moon, I think that could be a moment of enlightenment. You know, all it takes is, you know, that kind of 1 second shift to change everything. The one thing can change everything in a flash. And it could be to your greater good. And certainly as we're coming to the end of all these transits, you know, it's really setting up for an acceleration of significance, right?
Mm. Yeah. Well, what I love about the Saturn-Mercury conjunction is that it's in a new phase, not a balsamic.
Yes.
You know, it's an Aries energy. We do have Mars and Venus still in that balsamic conjunction with Pluto at the same time, but at least Mercury's moved in front of Saturn, so it can really show you, you know, what is sustainable in your life, what is the long-term pace that you can then can count on, versus feeling completely swept away by something. So that is a good thing. All right, we'll be right back after the break.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KRISTIN Fontana.com.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we have returned, and we're discussing the transits for March of 2022. In particular, we're talking about the new moon in Pisces with Jupiter, and on that same day, Saturn and Mercury will be conjunct in Aquarius. This is representing the change. Maybe it could be something contractually binding in your life that you're changing, whether it's selling your house, getting a divorce, getting married, getting a new job. It could be many different things. And on the 6th, or late in the night on the 5th, that's Saturday night, in the West, which means in a lot of places on Sunday, but, you know, on a weekend, doesn't seem like you're signing documents on early Sunday morning many times. But anyway, that Mercury on the 6th, when Mars and Venus are now in Aquarius, is exactly squaring the nodal axis, what you call the karmic axis, Rose. So your past and your future. I see this as, I think of Mercury, I think of options. I think of, there's two ways you could go with it. You know, Mercury rules Gemini, and Mars is the choice-making planet, but Mercury really is like, okay, do I have all the information that I need? And am I really ready to make this move? And so I feel like that square to the nodes could be, on the one hand, it could be an opportunity to really recover something in a sense. Like, I think of it as like recovering your voice in a new way, right? You're really just going to go for it. You're going to stand out. You're going to make a statement. You're finally going to speak up for what you want or speak up for what you need. But I think, it could go, there's something here that tells me something, there's like an ambivalence still with that energy. How do you read that?
Well, there's a lot going on that 6th, 5th, 6th, because it's late at night and early in the morning, for some of the transits. But a couple things, too. Along with Venus, Mars, and Pluto, we also have Vesta. Moving along with that group, right, and Vesta and Pluto are new phase on the 6th at the same time. And Vesta is a sacred flame, but it has everything to do with security, right? It has everything to do with the fortress that you build in order to keep yourself safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to do with all that kind of stuff, and it's kind of stoking the fire as well, too, right? And so it would strike me with Mercury in a dynamic tension to the nodal axis, that square here, again, that you're on this fast track of making some significant change regarding all of that, in terms of moving forward in decision-making on that day. Now, interestingly as well, too, just to continue on, the moon is in the sign of Taurus, and we'll make a conjunction with Uranus. So, and Uranus is Taurus, brings us to Venus, which is in the sign of Aquarius. So again, it's a new values, a new way of evaluating coming in here in terms of what is essential to you, right? So I think that you're standing on this threshold. I always see that kind of energy of, when you're standing there in dilemma, but you know that you feel compelled, right?
Definitely.
Compelling thing, and you're at this kind of yes-no or this kind of resistant factor. It's like, I have to do it. It's like I'm afraid to do it. And like, what if it doesn't work out, but you still feel that. What I sometimes say is like your soul screams, It says, like, go for it, or hold back, or you have to take this move, right? And it would strike me with this Uranus is that you're that Mercury position here is that you're just like you're standing on that, you know, at that intersection. And I think it's just it's a synchronicity piece that comes along. Now, also on that date, Jupiter and the Sun are conjunct, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Sun goes new phase to Jupiter on that day.
Mm-hmm.
You have such tremendous power behind all, you know, this whole dynamic. And also, too, Juno is in the mix here. Juno is sitting on the 6th of March at 13 degrees, and Mercury has already surpassed that, and Saturn's already surpassed that. But the thing is that Mercury is a new phase to Juno, which is a contract asteroid. And later on in the month, it comes to the very, very end of March, the 28th, 29th of March, when Saturn and Juno come together, right? So that is a completion on a contract, right? You know, just what you're saying about you're signing, you know, selling or buying or whatever you're doing, right? You know, I think that this Mercury transit, you can surprise yourself with the action that you take.
There you go.
You know, it's like you're in dilemma, your dilemma, your dilemma, but you still put your hand on the doorknob.
Because you feel compelled.
You feel compelled, right? Yeah. So I think that with the Moon's conjunction to Uranus, the vote is, and Mercury in the sign of Aquarius, and Venus and Mars in the sign of Aquarius, the vote is going to be towards something new, right?
But I also feel like, just sitting here listening to you, I think it's important to think before you act impulsively at that time, because that's where the square is about, making sure, right? You think, because sometimes when we act before thinking something through, you know, then we have to backtrack. So, or maybe talking about it, having those conversations with somebody that you haven't dared, you know, those places you've dared to tread, because, you know, Mercury is sitting there, and it's going to require some conversation with Uranus conjunct the Moon. I mean, it's just going to bring all the emotional content out. So on a personal level, I think it is about talking about those things that maybe have created some unresolved angst inside of you, or even trauma from the past that can be resurfacing emotionally, and you want to talk about it. That can be part of that trend as well.
Resurfacing, that's an excellent word, you know, considering that Mercury is square the south node in Scorpio. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was an important thing that you brought up earlier. Not everybody knows that we talk about the nodes of the Moon. A lot of people know the past, your future, the natal position of the Moon is the emotional body, the ego that you chose in this life to actualize your soul's intentions. But every planet has nodes, has a south node and a north node. And as you mentioned, Rose, the south node of Saturn, which is our conditioned past, it's the history, the patriarchal history of her reality on this planet for thousands of years, male-dominated, you know, kind of old men in suits kind of mentality, with Pluto just parked on that thing all year this year. I mean, there's really going to have to be a new way to move forward. I mean, Pluto will eliminate anything that isn't sustainable anymore, you know, in your own personal life or in the world. I mean, I was just reading some just heartbreaking things about our environment, and you know, all of the Arctic just melting away.
Oh gosh, yeah,
it just freaks me out. Like nobody's business. And to me, it's like taking responsibility for how we treat our planet. Like, you know, this is the reality. This is a karmic reality of what we're dealing with now. What people have kind of turned a blind eye to for too long. So, you know, there's a lot going on. We are alive on this planet at a very intense time, and I'm sure people throughout history would have said that in other times, but we certainly have a lot to contend with, I would say. On a Earth level, on a political level, and intercontinental level. So, well, we'll be right back to share more after the break.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, where it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question. Why am I here? Thanks for listening. God bless."
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we have returned. I'm here with Rose Marcus from Vancouver, Canada, discussing the transits for March, and we've covered the new moon and the shift of Mars and Venus into Capricorn, clearing the shadow of these retrogrades. First few months of 2022 for a lot of people was about reevaluating your life and how you're spending your time and what it is that you value. I just talked to a client who's a trauma orthopedic surgeon, 60 years old, has been working around the clock, just heinous hours since he was, 18 probably, and just burnt out. And so really the conversation with somebody like this, by the way, with a stellium of planets in Aquarius, think about that in terms of crises and trauma and people being wheeled in from accidents, what that can do to your nervous system over time. All you're doing is trying to put out fires or fix something that's broken or make sure somebody doesn't die on the table while you're working on them. So that's a lot. It was actually extremely encouraging and moving and all these things to look at him and hear him say, "I just want to spend time with my wife and my daughter. I don't want to lose them. And I think I will if I keep working," you know. And so somebody like that, all that Aquarian energy saying, "You know what? He stopped working January 11th in the middle of the Venus retrograde. I like being home," is what he said. "I like taking care of myself and being with my family. I really love that. I value that." It was just like such a wonderful example of that transit. Okay, so you won't be making millions every year if you've invested well enough. You don't have to. And to me, time with our loved ones is priceless. You can't put a price on that. So that's, one example of millions And, you know, I could just feel so much emotion. It was such a beautiful thing. I love it. I love nothing more than when people just wake up to what really matters, ultimately. And not that, of course, in that context, you know, he felt good about what he was doing. He was helping people. But, you know, it's a physical thing, you know, when you're helping people in that way. And living an emotional life is, you know, those are the things that you really can take with you. You know, all those memories, all the meaningful moments, and that's what these retrogrades have been about for a lot of people.
Well, I totally agree with that. And, you know, Capricorn's the archetype of time. And as you said earlier, and, you know, with all these planets, we're under this pressure point of time, really, you know. And I would say that, and this is part of the shift of the whole collective as well, too, I think, you know, because I would say that we've been sold a bill of goods, you know. What, you're not working an 80-hour work week? Why not, you lazy slouch, you know? And I've just heard it from so many people. I can't do anything but work. I have no time for myself. I have no time for my family. No time to, you know, get together with friends. It's, you know, exactly it. Something's got to give. And most definitely it is getting to that point.
Mm-hmm. And that is true. It was very much about the conversation. He said, you know, I'll probably live till I'm 78. You know, so I've got 18 years is in his mind what he thinks he has, you know, to make up for lost time. And that crazy feeling of, like, I feel like I'm running out of time. I want to get back that time that I feel like I've lost. And this is my opportunity to change my life in a radical way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, you know, I want to say something as well, too. You know, the Venus-Mars cycle that's starting at 0 degrees Aquarius. And last year we had the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn at 0 degrees of Aquarius, right? That was on the winter solstice, which, you know, a lot of people talked about the Star of David, right? You know, blah, blah. But, you know, that Saturn and Jupiter transit started a new bigger picture cycle, 0 degrees Aquarius. And next year, at the end of March, Pluto will move into sign of Aquarius, dip into Aquarius for the first time. It's going to be 0 degrees Aquarius. So this Venus-Mars transit is kind of, again, a midpoint between that Jupiter-Saturn side nod that started last year and the Pluto ingress into Aquarius of March 2023. So if you're picking up that energy, you're getting a kind of a preview of what the, you know, what's coming next. You know, Pluto moving into Aquarius, which is going to be there for 20 years, and none of us have ever experienced it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime transit, right? So radical reinvention of reality is right in front of us. And if you are thinking about making some radical personal change, then you're on track. You know, and that's got to do with, you know, relationships, Mars and Venus, right? You know, again, you know, my relationship with myself and therefore my relationship with everybody else.
Yeah. Well, undoubtedly, there's the Earth moving beneath your feet. You can feel it vibrationally. That's what's coming with Mars and Venus about to move into the sign. And I love how you brought that back to December of 2020. Saturn and Jupiter moving into Aquarius at 0 degree. I mean, wow. And then Pluto next year. So, yeah, there's some... it'd be good to go back to that time to see what was happening. And it was really showing you what was possible, and if you haven't made those changes yet or you've been working on them, you know, now is a time when you can really put your money where the mouth, your mouth is, as they say, and just start making your move. You know, start to really follow through on some of those intentions.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I was sorry, it was December 2020, right? Yeah.
Yeah, December. I think I said that, right?
Yeah. You did. I'm not sure I did.
Okay. A year ago, December.
Yeah, and again, you know, evolution is not an overnight thing either. I mean, sometimes the outer change can be instantaneous. But it's something that that you're working on at some level internally for a while, right? You know, so I just say keep stoking the fire, even if you don't know how to make the change or what that might look like for you, entertain possibilities.
Yeah, and it's, with Mars, as we've talked about, this is just a key teaching in evolutionary astrology. It is the lower octave of Pluto. It's the younger brother, as we say. Mars will take what is unconscious within you and take action. And Mars is a driving force in our lives. It's a planet of desire. And so, you know, it is going to be the thing within you through your instinct that will tell you what your soul wants you to do next. Forget all the worries and fears and thoughts. Like, really pay attention to that primal energy, that instinctual energy that tells you what you want. Not what you need in this case. Venus is what you need, so of course we have to make sure we are getting also what we need. But what we want is really the thing that's just, that's driving your evolution. So, you know, pay attention to it, I think is really what these transits are saying. And, you know, step into what that change looks like. At least take a step toward it, if nothing else.
All right. So I heard a break, so maybe we'll come back and
Finish up. So on the break, you can think about what that step's going to be. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding genes that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Genes has done extensive research, and they have genes that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Take one step towards spirit. Spirit will take 1,000 steps toward you. Come explore the world of evolutionary astrology with Rose Marcus. Rose Marcus is well known for her heartfelt passion, sensitive counseling skills, and dedication to helping others. You can now study evolutionary astrology from the comfort of your own home through live teleconference classes with Rose. To register for the next evolutionary astrology school, to read your in-depth monthly horoscope, or to book a private astrology with Rose Marcus, please visit her website, www.rosemarcus.com.
Oh man, it never fails. My suitcase just got ripped apart.
Life is a journey. Make it a pleasant one. Use Samsonite. You know the name. For almost a century, Samsonite luggage has proved itself to be the worldwide leader in innovative travel solutions. Let it be yours. Visit HealthyLife.net's affiliate Samsonite on our homepage and click to look at the fine luggage from suitcases to golf travel bags. And don't forget, take a look at their travel accessories. Make life a journey, a pleasant one, with Samsonite.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we are back for our final segment. We've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of March left. I think we made it to about March 6th or 7th, so let you go.
Well, you know, and first of all, that first week is just jam-packed, so, you know, it's kind of setting you right up there. And just to make mention of what's coming up here, so on the 9th of March, Mercury moves into Pisces, and Mercury is traveling very fast. On the 26th, it's going to move into Aries, so it's just doing a real quick trip through the sign of Pisces. And lots going on. Like the first week is going to really set things up. But from about the 13th to the 18th, I think we'll see a lot of action. Jupiter is currently moving through the sign of Pisces, and Jupiter is a one-year transit through a sign. And it's moving very quickly through the sign of Pisces this year. In the middle of May, it's going to move into Aries, and it'll be there until October and then back into Pisces. So it's moving quite quickly. But we're going to feel that Jupiter transit because it's picking up the south node of Uranus between the 13th and the 18th. So despite the fact that Jupiter is in Pisces, which is a good flow, or I call it an attunement archetype, and of course Pisces corresponds to tuning in, but tuning into again, what is of higher purpose, value, and meaning for you, but also tuning in collectively as well too, so we're all buzzed up with the same thing. But the fact that it's stimulated by the south node of Uranus is going to have that kind of flavor, so it's going to keep the activity kind of charged, I'll say, in that middle month. And just as we come to the end of that week, the 13th to the 18th, and it's the 19th, we'll have Venus in Aquarius squaring Uranus. And just a few days later, well, on the 20th, of course, we have the spring equinox, and on that day, Mercury and Jupiter are together by conjunction. And on the 22nd, Mars and Uranus are in square. And on the 23rd, we have Mercury and Neptune conjunct. So we've got quite a lot going on from like the 19th to the 23rd of March. So despite the fact that we're in the month of Pisces, I don't think that there's going to be much let up.
No.
You know,
fast.
Yeah, it'll be fast. It'll be triggered. I think I'm just feeling kind of the thickness of my days, and I think Capricorn's an archetype of persevering, by the way, and I bet a lot of us feel like we're just persevering through through each day. It's very thick. As we get to the month of March, the intensity continues throughout.
That is so true. So Uranus, as you were mentioning, what was the day? Was it like the 22nd that Mars squares Uranus?
Yeah, March 22nd, yes.
And Venus does so around the 19th. So Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. And to have Mars and Venus squaring its own ruler, I mean, on its own, those transits are unpredictable at best. And then to have Mars and Venus in Aquarius squaring the ruler of Aquarius just, you know, makes it even that much more electric and powerful.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of this. It's like, okay, so you're really wanting to jump off that diving board, right? And you know, you've kind of walked to the end of it a few times, and you really get a lot of heart palpitations when you do that. Your anxiety's peaking. And then all of a sudden, maybe I've told this story before, I have older brothers, you know, one of your brothers gets out of the pool and starts running toward you, running toward the back of the diving board, and you have nowhere to go but in, right? You don't want him to push you in, you got to jump. So it's that pressure, that unexpected pressure that's coming, and you know, and you go, you leap. Either you jump or somebody's going to make you jump. So that's what I feel like that transit's about.
And, you know, Mars and Uranus and Venus and Uranus, they're on a corner turn. That's what I like to call it. They're moving to a last quarter phase for those astrologers out there. So that's a shift, right? You know, it's a shift of perspective. You know, shift in the reality base, you know, it's saying, well, and I have been saying this to a lot of clients lately, that was the old me. What would the old me want to do? Want to do, right? You know, and it's like that's exactly it. You know, moving away from the old patterns, the old ways of doing things, as you know, and moving to putting the kind of new desires, the new needs, the new orientation, you know, the new perspective, letting that lead you to someplace else, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by the way, just one other thing is to say that as that happens, you know, Venus Uranus will still be in the month of Pisces, but Mars Uranus, the sun has already moved into Aries. So from the 20th forward, that's new impulses and new agendas, new energy, new action, right? You know, to support you, new courage, right?
Mm-hmm. So when did you say was moving into Pisces? You said Mars in Pisces. I think I heard you say. That's going to be April.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. No. It's just that. Sorry, I want to just clean up two other things. Is that the Mars Mars Pluto conjunction that we're experiencing at the front of March on March 3rd, starting a new 2-year cycle, is going to take us all the way to the end of June. And that's when Mars will be in Aries and squaring the Pluto position at that time. So whatever launches right now, you've got to the end of June to be working your way through it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you might think about that as a timetable. And also of note this month, and let me just see here, there's a Sun-Neptune conjunction on the 13th of March, and there on the 23rd of March there's a Mercury-Neptune conjunction, and these are at 23 degrees of Pisces. And if you have anything at 23 degrees of the mutable signs, this is a big Jupiter-Neptune conjunction on the 12th of April, and that's huge because that only comes around. It's a once-in-a-lifetime transit. It's 146 years since we've had the last time that Jupiter and Neptune were conjunct in the sign of Pisces, right? I'm going to be talking about that in the talk that I'm going to do next month. But it's huge, and Pisces is, you know, it's all about, tapping the potentials, right? You know, that Jupiter-Neptune is coming to some kind of completion pattern again here with that, but you're going to have some triggers in this month, and that's about tuning in, right? You know, tuning into a higher source, you know, tuning into more of what is of ultimate for you, right, in terms of envisioning and inspiration and, you know, allowing yourself to imagine, to dream, to hope, to find your faith again.
It is an out-of-this-world configuration, I would say, for sure. Beyond this world, otherworldly, feeling the assistance from the other side. It can be all of that. It all depends on what you're energizing, how you experience that combination. And I think what's really important, because there are a lot of triggering energies this month, but there's also some really holy influences, I would say, divine energy. Neptune right now is moving into and will be the third week of March. Beautiful trine to the south node, sextile to the north node. It is absolutely seamless in its position there around the, I would say, the 24th, 25th, 26th of March exact. We've got Mercury in a new phase to Jupiter around the 21st, 22nd. These two are how you, it's the left brain, right brain. It can be your intuition. It can be things coming to you from another place that allow you to carve out a new reality for yourself. It can be the dream that finally comes true. It can be a multitude of things. So just know that there's a lot of offsetting energies that this is like forcing us all to really evolve and to grow beyond where we've been. But there's really a lot of celestial support that you can feel but maybe cannot see. But you will be able to feel it if you are open and receptive. So thank you so much, Rose, for sharing this journey with me and talking these starry insights, being a stargazer. one of the best. So thank you for all that you do to bring your teachings here today and every end of the month with me. So we'll be back to share more at the end of March, looking into April, and I'm just wishing everybody a happy new moon and a beautiful transition out of the shadow and into the light. Until next time, namaste.